Well, hello, radio friends, and once more I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. This is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another Christ-exalting broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel. And friends, I believe that there's someone listening in today for the very first time. And you believe that it's just a coincidence that you happen to be listening to this program. Ah, listen, my friend. God has used His sovereign power to have you tune our way today. Perhaps He knows that you're not prepared for eternity. Yes, perhaps He knows that you're about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're not prepared to meet God. You've never been saved and born again through faith in the cross work of Christ. Well, friend, if this is the very first time you ever heard this program, then please give heed to the Word of God. I'm here today to open the Holy Bible, and I trust you'll stop whatever you're doing and listen to what God has to say to you today. Now, I may be speaking to someone, and you've heard this program many, many times, and you don't realize it, but this may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel of God's grace. If so, are you prepared to meet God? Have your sins been washed away in the blood of Christ? Well, friend, if not, then you too should listen to the Word of God. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we read that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And in Romans 10 and 17, we're told that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace, coming from the heights of heaven down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee, Lord, for the value and the virtue of His finished work at Calvary, and the shedding of that precious blood without which there could be no remission for sin. And Father, we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. So we ask Thy blessing upon the word about to be written, spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now before getting into the message today, let's listen to a lovely tune, and it's entitled, Love Lifted Me.
Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, thinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
God today that love has lifted me. Yes, the love of God has lifted me from the dunghill of sin and placed me in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, where there's therefore now no condemnation. I read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now then, those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today a verse as we find it in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let me repeat the text. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now friends, from the time that Adam and Eve dwelt in the Garden of Eden, man has proven himself to be a highly curious type of individual. In Genesis chapter 3, we read how curiosity, stimulated by sin, caused our first parents to rebel against the word of God. You recall how they partook of the forbidden fruit. You know, my friend, I'm afraid that mankind hasn't improved much along these lines since that time, because we find that we are still a group of seeking men and women. Man spends the greater part of his life seeking a fortune, seeking fame, pleasure, property, and even adventure. And in all his seeking, he ends up with a gross inconsistency of seeking means to prolong his life on one hand and also to destroy life on the other. Yes, man is truly a seeking individual, except when it comes to the things of God. Man has never sought God. He has never sought God and his righteousness. Now back in the Garden of Eden, you may recall that after they had sinned, Adam and Eve fled from God and hid amongst the trees of the garden. And it was God who was the seeker. He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he said to Adam and Eve, "Where art thou?" Now instead of Adam and Eve being repentant and seeking the God of mercy, it was God who was seeking the fallen creature. And the sad part about it is, the same condition exists today. That's the reason Paul tells us in Romans 3 and verse 11 that there is none that seeketh after God. And that's the reason that the scriptures consistently tell us that we must seek the Lord. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus Christ himself tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But yet mankind continues to shunt aside any desire to seek after God and his grace-filled plan of salvation provided in the death of his Son. Well, friends, back in Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4 we read, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." And in the second and third verses of Psalm 14, David says, "The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So there we have the word of God, friend, that plainly tells us that man, because of his sinful nature, will not seek after God. Now in our scripture verse for today, Isaiah 55 and verse 6, we read these words, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." Friend, in this well-known verse of scripture, there are several evident and important facts which the Holy Spirit of God has seen fit to reveal to us. And with the help of the same Holy Spirit of God today, I'd like to briefly bring these facts before any who are still strangers to God's grace and who are still on the broad and crowded road that leads to the place called hell. Now the first fact concerning this verse to which I would draw your attention today is the fact that we are to seek the Lord. Now you might ask, why is it necessary for me to seek the Lord? Well, friend, the answer is found in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, where we read these words, "By your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So you see then that the reason you must seek God is the fact that your sins have broken off proper relationship with him. Yes, that relationship was broken away back in the Garden of Eden when our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. And over in Romans 5 and verse 12, God tells us, "Wherefore as by one man," meaning Adam, "sin came into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Then in Romans 6 and 23, we read that the wages of sin is death. Now this means not only physical death, my friend, but also spiritual death. And spiritual death means eternal separation from God, and instead, you'll be subjected to the flames of hell forever and forever. Now, friends, I realize that this is the most serious subject upon which to speak, because it involves the eternal destiny of your never-dying soul. It concerns the fact that your soul is going to exist throughout all eternity in either one of two places, and there are only two places, either heaven or hell. Yes, friend, it's necessary for you to seek the Lord because you're a sinner in need of God's way of salvation. In Romans 3 and verse 23, God says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Here again we read that our sins have caused us to fall short of communion and fellowship with our Creator God. And that fellowship and communion with God, my friend, can only be restored in one way, and that is by simple childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His vicarious death at Calvary's cross. Now, another reason why we must seek the Lord is because by nature we are spiritually dead. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1 we read that the unsaved are dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, if you're dead in trespasses and sins today, how are you going to be made alive? How are you going to be brought back into a new and proper relationship with God? Well, friend, the answer is found in John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus Christ himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Yes, my friend, the only way you can approach unto God is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here again, I can refer you to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that we read over in John chapter 10 and verse 9. Here's what he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Now, still another thought to be remembered concerning this verse is the basic fact that it is highly personal. Yes, God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near." My friend, it's you that God is speaking to today, not your wife or your husband or neighbors or other friends and associates, but you. My, oh my, why is it that when the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God begin to convict a person, that they immediately refer their thoughts to someone else? I talked to an unsaved couple some time ago, and the wife thought it would be a wonderful idea if her husband got saved. She said it would be just what the doctor ordered. But when I assured her that God's word said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, she became quite indignant and expressed her belief that I was too presumptuous by my assertion that she too must experience the new birth. If not, she would be down in hell forever. Her thoughts concerning God's way of salvation was that of good works. She believed that as long as you did your best, everything would turn out all right in the end. And is that not the general belief among the countless throngs on the road to hell today? Yes, unfortunately, it is. And yet there is not one verse of Scripture found in any Bible on the face of the earth which tells us that we can get to heaven by being baptized, confirmed, dedicated, or joining a church, or living a good, clean life, or all these other things that people are trying to use in order to reach the heaven of God. No, my friend, why, it's not even logical. Listen, friend, if it were possible for you and I to reach heaven by some religious ritual, or by prayer, or by trying to do the best we can, tell me, why did Jesus die? Why did he go all the way to the place called Calvary and shed his precious blood if you and I could reach heaven by being baptized or living a so-called good, clean life? Well, friends, God's salvation is a personal salvation. You're the one who must accept or reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're the one who must truly seek the Lord. And you're the one who must actively or passively answer the question, "What think ye of Christ?" And my friend, your answer to this question will decide your soul's eternal abode. Now, a most important factor to be remembered about our text is that we are to seek no one but the Lord. Too many people these days are following this preacher or that evangelist, and in many cases, their eyes of faith have never seen the Lord. My friend, if you're still unsaved today, let me give you this all-important piece of advice. Seek ye the Lord. He's the one who died for your sin. He's the one who bare your sins in his own body on the tree. He's the one who suffered, bled, and died that you might not experience the torments of hell. And he's the one who has made possible the new and the living way into the presence of his Father God. And that, my friend, is through simple faith in the precious blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he was truly the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now we move along to the second phrase in our verse, which tells us that we are to seek the Lord while he may be found. Friend, perhaps you're curious to know what is meant by this phrase. Well, it simply means that we as individuals should seek God's way of salvation through Jesus Christ while it is still available to us during this present dispensation of God's grace. I'm sure that many people today are procrastinating when the welfare of their soul is at stake. They know that they're sinners, and they know that they have to be saved or born again, but they are determined to enjoy the pleasures of sin as long as they can before giving serious thought to seeking the Lord. They live from day to day with the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry. Then when you're on your deathbed, then you can seek the Lord. Well, my friend, this is a scheme of the devil. If he can lull you to sleep by seeking a more convenient season like that man called Governor Felix over in Acts chapter 24, then he knows he'll soon have your soul in hell. Now, friend, you'll have to admit that God is faithful in his warning against this type of procrastination. Over in Proverbs 27 and 1, God says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, we read these words, "Come now," not tomorrow, "come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Again in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." My friend, I believe that there are millions of souls in hell today, right now, who honestly believed that they would become a Christian someday. But unfortunately for them, they kept putting it off until it was too late. And yet God's word is so clear, "Seek ye the Lord," when? While he may be found. Yes, today is the day of salvation, my friend. Tomorrow may be too late. You awoke in perfect health this morning, and yet, my friend, you could be down in hell tonight. You put your clothes on this morning, the undertaker may take them off tonight. Now, aside from procrastination, this phrase is also a warning to those who disregard the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Friend, he's going to return to gather those that sought him, whether they are dead or alive. They're all going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. And it's going to be a great comfort to those of us who are saved today to know that one of these days, perhaps today, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and take us home to be with him and like him forevermore. My friend, when this great event takes place, the day of God's grace will have ceased to exist, and you who haven't sought the Lord will find much to your sorrow that it will be too late then. Yes, you'll be left behind to suffer the wrath of God throughout the endless ages of all eternity. Now, another factor which must be considered concerning seeking the Lord while he may be found is the fact that the Holy Spirit of God may stop striving with you at any time. Some of you have experienced the conviction of sin many, many times and have as yet not applied by faith the blood of God's Son to those sins. Well, friend, God says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man," and neither he shall. The sad part about it is the fact that there are thousands of people living today who have hardened their hearts against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. There was a time in the past when they were moved concerning their lost and ruined condition. There was a time when Spirit-filled preaching shook them, as it were, over the very flames of hell. But today they can listen to the Word of God, just like some of you are listening today. And you can hear about your ruined condition and future punishment, and yet, my friend, you sit there unmoved, as though you feared not the God of heaven, in whose hand your very breath is. Listen, sinner friend, I would direct your attention to what God says in Proverbs 29 and 1. "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Oh, friend, I plead with you today, if the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you and convicting you of your sin, please don't quench the Spirit. Just acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died, and by faith alone, apply his blood to your sin-filled soul. My friend, if you'll do that right now, we have the assurance of God's word that you'll be saved for time, and you'll be saved for all eternity, too. Yes, you'll be born again by the Holy Spirit of God from above, and you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You'll be clothed in the garments of salvation, and you'll be made fit for God's presence. Oh, thank God, this is still the day of His grace, and this is still the day when hell-deserving sinners can pass from spiritual death unto spiritual life through faith in the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now then, let's just touch briefly upon the last half of our scripture text for today. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Now in the first half of the verse, we're told, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. And now we are exhorted to call ye upon Him while He is near. Now let's just take a brief look at some of those mentioned in the Bible who followed this advice to the letter. One of our most noted examples was this man over in John chapter 3 called Nicodemus. This man, a self-righteous leader of the religious Pharisees, sought the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of the night. Yes, he was so concerned about eternity that he wanted to know how he could be assured of eternal life. And the answer which Jesus gave him is well known to most of you listening in, I'm sure. The Lord Jesus Christ told this highly religious ruler of the Jews that he had to be born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't tell Nicodemus to keep the Ten Commandments or to join a church or to turn over a new leaf. Oh, no. He told him that he must be born of the water and the Spirit of God from above. And friends, what Jesus said to Nicodemus over 1900 years ago, he repeats to each and every one of you still unsaved today. Ye must be born again, and you're born again by the Word and the Holy Spirit of God. I read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Another well-known example of people seeking the Lord while He was to be found and calling upon Him while He was near is told to us in the incident recorded in Luke's Gospel chapter 18. There we read of the blind man called Bartimaeus, and how he sat begging along the road to Jericho when the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by. When Bartimaeus, the blind man, heard that it was Jesus passing by, he cried out twice over, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Yes, he was desperate. He wanted to see like the other people, and so he wasn't going to be denied. Perhaps he had heard those words in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. You know, it's a good thing that Bartimaeus wasn't a procrastinator like some of you listening in today. Because, friends, this was the very last time Jesus Christ was to pass that way. He was on his way up to Jerusalem, where a few days later, they crucified him just outside the city gate. And, friend, you may not know it, but today may be the last time for Jesus Christ to pass your way. And if it were, where would your soul be in eternity? Heaven or hell? Again, in the 19th chapter of Luke, we read of another man who sought the Lord while he could be found. This man's name was Zacchaeus. You recall how when Jesus was entering the city of Jericho, Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree to see the Son of God. Here was a man that the Bible defines as sinfully rich. Yet when the opportunity arose for him to seek the Lord, we read where he, being short of stature, humbled himself, and he ran and climbed a sycamore tree to see the Son of God. Would that some of you unsaved listening in the day would likewise humble yourself and run to seek the Lord. But friend, you really wouldn't have to run to seek the Lord, because if you took one step by faith in His direction, you would find yourself in His loving arms, because He too is seeking you. In fact, in this same 19th chapter of Luke and in verse 10, Jesus Christ Himself says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I can tell you, my friend, from personal experience today, that a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior will soon find each other in each other's arms. Now there's one more example of adherence to Isaiah 55 and 6 that I would bring before you today, and that's the one we find in Luke chapter 23. Here we have recorded the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And you may recall how one of the two thieves that were crucified with Jesus Christ repented and confessed his sin at the very last moment. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, friend, two thoughts come to my mind when I think of this incident. First, I think of how the last act performed by Jesus Christ was to do that for which he came. He saved the soul of a sinner. And secondly, I like to think that this thief had been brought up in a home where he once had heard the scriptures read by a God-fearing father. As he sees the Son of God dying there on the cross beside him, his thoughts go back to the verses which he had heard as a child. He recalls his dad reading from the scroll from Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And so that's just what he did. That thief is in heaven today, my friend, because he called upon Jesus Christ while he was near. Ah, but sad indeed is the story of the other thief. He too saw the Son of God die, but we never read where he ever called upon him while he was near. Now how about you, my friend? Are you going to go on neglecting the salvation of your soul because you refuse to seek the Lord? If so, let me remind you of what God says in Proverbs chapter 21. Because I have called and ye refused, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Ah, my friend, these are very solemn words from the Lord God of heaven. Why not seek the Lord right now? Call upon him right now, and let the language of your heart be, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And friend, if you'll do that right now, and if you're really sincere about it, the Word of God says you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we come to thee again at the close of another radio message to ask thy blessing upon thy word. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.